Well, welcome everybody. Yeah. Welcome to Father's House and those that are online as well. Pray that you have a blessed morning this morning and that we just have a real time of glory, giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, who's happy about today? Who's excited? Who's saying, this is the day that the Lord has made and I am joyful because I have him as my King. I have him as my Lord, my Savior, my rock, my strong tower, my fortress, my all in all, the lover of my soul, and he is Jesus. And if you don't know him today as your friend or even as your Savior, then you want to get to know him and you simply just say, Jesus, forgive me of all my things in my past that I've done wrong. And I know the list could be many for some of us, but all you need to do is say, sorry, Lord, I've got life wrong up to this point. But from this day, from this very minute, I want you to be the leader of my life. I want to give my life to you, surrender all that I have, hand it into your hands for you to lead, for you to guide, and to take me forward. And that's simply what you do today. You surrender to him and his ways and allow him to wipe the slate clean of your past and to take you into a new future with him. Amen. Now that is good news. Amen. Good news. So this morning, I want to take a look. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes on. There's a lot of talk that goes on about church, about kingdom, and what is it? You know, and I want to look this morning at the church. What does the Bible say about it? What are we? Who are we? And why are we? You know, so there's like 3 points that I really feel that the Lord wants to get us to look at. And I'm hoping that we may tackle all 3 this morning. If not, we'll have to drop back on this at another point and take it further. So, but let's go. Let's see how we can get on this morning and see what the Father's wanting to say. The first thing I want to set is a premise, as a foundation, as a structural pin, like Jesus the rock, that we can build upon, that we can stand firm upon. And I want to take you to the scripture in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. This is pivotal to getting in your heart, getting in your spirit, and to standing on as a revelatory promise for you, for me today. So it says in Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand. Come on, Lord, put your hand up, put your right hand up right now and say, Lord, take hold of my right hand. I am willing, I'm ready, and I am loving it, Lord, that you would do that for me. And then he goes on to say, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Wow. Do not fear, I will help you. And I really feel that is a word specifically for someone there this morning that is down and is struggling, and yet the Lord's telling you in clear and uncertain terms this morning that I will help you, that I am with you. I am your rock, your fortress. And so grab that this morning. Say, yes, Lord, I may not feel it, I may not sense it, but I'm saying yes to the word of the Lord, and I am standing on your word this morning to say, I'm in agreement, Lord, with everything that you have for my life, because all your ways are perfect and true, and I want to walk in your ways. I want to be the son or the daughter that you desired me to be. I want to be the fulfillment of your dreams that you had over me before I was even born. Amen. Amen. So there, that's a good kickstart for this morning. So I want to look at is the first thing I want to bring to the table this morning is we are described in the Bible as a church that is militant. Now, a few weeks ago, I spoke about, you know, how can you fight the good fight of faith if you don't actually fight? If you don't actually need to draw your sword, then you're not in a fight. You're not in a battle. And in this season, we are beginning to understand as the church what our battle is, that we are appointed and anointed to take this to the enemy, to destroy his works. Jesus was here and he said he was here to do the will of the Father, which was to what? destroy the works of the enemy. So everything he's seen around him that was not right, that was not as how his father had designed it to be, he honed in on it and put his hands on it or spoke to it, and he commanded it to go in Jesus' name. He changed and rectified what was wrong in community and spoke to it and changed it to come into alignment with his father's will. Amen. You know, so we are part of that church. And in Matthew 16, turn with us to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15 to 20. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not overpower it." Verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Come on, there's a statement for you. There is promise right for you today that we are part of this militant church, that you know, a church that is on the move, a church that does not stop, a church that's ever expanding, and the church is kingdom. Amen. You know, so we are here on the earth to carry out the will of the Father. We are here on earth, an assembled body, because you can meet in ones and twos and you have a great time with the Lord. But the Lord knows when a corporate gathering comes together, when the voices that are many come together and raise their cry, raise their prayer to the King of heaven, then there is a shift in the atmosphere, like a dynamite explosion that goes off, because the body has come together and there is unity. You know, we talk about disunity in the body of Christ. You know, when the presence of the King descends into a meeting, there is no thoughts about disunity. In fact, really all we want to do is be on the floor, be right in front of the Father, just saying, "Lord, you're holy, and I bow, and I am prepared to go low before you today, because you're so awesome, you're so big, you're so glorious, and I love it when your presence walks in the room and everything changes." You know, because you get changed when the glory comes, when the presence comes, you get changed to become what? More like your Father. More loving than you were before. But you know, the things that you've held onto in life so tightly and so dearly, man, when that presence of the fire of God comes in that room, you're not interested in me, in who I can be. You're only interested in focusing on him and turning your eyes towards the Father of heaven, your creator, the Lord God Almighty. Oh, wow. You know, I long for that. I long for the day when he is swooping in with his presence, that the angels of the Lord fill the room. It's like the glory comes down so thick that it's like a 3-foot mist all over the floor of the building. And you get to know, well, there's no chance that you wouldn't know that God has turned up. I remember in 1999 that a little church, Inuit church in Alaska, was seeking a praying God to come and work on their youth in the community, because they were having an outbreak of drugs. And they went to a time of prayer in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, the pastors and the leaders of the church share that there was this sound like a mighty Russian wind. It was like the motors of airplanes. It was just huge. And the building began to shake. And they said all they did was they felt the glory of the Lord come down, and all they could do was lie prostrate on the ground, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Heaven, had automatically walked right in to create a dwelling place right there at that season, right there at that time. You know, and even the pastor thought the sound machine was playing up. He goes over and pulls out the plug in the wall, thinking that'll kill everything. And you know what? The presence of the Lord was still there so strong that the recording kept recording without electric. Come on. That's when our Lord brings his electric into the room, his fire in the room, and everything shifts and everything changes. That's who you serve. That's your God. That's the King of Kings. That's the Lord of Lords. That's what you signed up for, his glory. And we are here to bring glory to him, glory to his name, not to us. If we start taking the glory, oh my goodness, you might as well turn your lights out and go home, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him and him alone. You know, the gifts and the signs and wonders follow those who believe. We are here today, united as the body of Christ, the church, the appointed ecclesia of the Father, to take things further in this arena and in this season than the church has ever been seen to do before. We're not here to be mealy-mouse little Christians tucked away in a building. No, we're here. You know, the Bible talks about the gates, and we'll talk about this in a minute. But you're not called to be in a fort. You're called to take forts. Did you get that? We're not called to be nicey-nicey in a little fort, all safe and cozy. We're called to take forts. We don't wait for the enemy to come to us. We see what he's up to, and we take the frontal attack to him. That is the design of heaven, and we want to follow his master plan, his plans to go out and what? Destroy the works of the enemy. Church, we're meant to be this most vibrant, powerful, enthusiastic, see wrong and want to put it right. I mean, the church has done some amazing things over the years, but there's more, folks. We have only scratched the surface as far as what we are going to walk into in this next season. There is a move of God that is here, that is accelerating, and it is going to take over the world. Why? Because I believe in scripture, the Lord says he wished that none would perish. He is the God of love, and he wishes none would perish. That means he has got a plan. He has got a purpose, and we are part of the plan. Amen? We get to ride with the king. We get to do exploits with him. Right, let's take a look at this. A church built on a rock is a strong foundation. The story in the Bible about the wise man who built on the rock, it stayed strong. The foolish man got washed away. His sand didn't make it. So we want to be on the rock, Christ Jesus, and moving forward with him. It is his church. He built it himself. He is the architect, and Jesus Christ is the head. So who do you look to leadership from? The head of an organization, because he has the strategy, he has the plans, and he knows where he's going. He just says, hey, come with me, and we get to go. And so I'm excited for that. You know, we are a church composed of the called out ones. We are the anointed and the appointed ones. That means that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it was no accident. You were chosen by him for such a time as this. You were chosen and appointed, and this is our season. This is our day. We are alive right now, right here, and the king is still advancing, and we are right by his side, or at least I hope we are right by his side, and pressing in for the more. Amen? How many of you believe that there is more? Yeah. How many of you believe that we have not seen anything yet? Come on, this is exciting times. This is the good news of the gospel. It's the good news. It's the good news to set captives free. And if you're not free today, well, then you need to set your eyes on the Father and say, God, what's wrong with me? Because you promised me an abundant life. I feel heavy and I feel worn out and worn down. Well, that is not his. That is the enemy trying to, with the little foxes, to needle you, to pick at you and to destroy you, to take you out of the battle, to make you feel of no use and of no purpose. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ today that you are a warrior, that you are a prince or a princess, that you are anointed by the King of Kings, that you are alive in this season because he has ordained it so. There is a life flow that's in you that comes only from his throne room. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the endowment of the Spirit that he poured into you. He paid a price for it. It now, because you said yes, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That's why we get to do the acts of the kingdom. We get to go and destroy the works of the enemy, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm up for it. Are you up for it? Are you prepared to draw your sword today? Put up your shield of faith. Put on your full Ephesians 6 armor. And let's do some warfare in this next season. Do you want an exciting life or do you just want to exist? That's my question to you today. Do you want church life or do you want kingdom life or do you want fire life of the destruction of the enemy's camp? I know which camp I want to be in. I want to be in the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my lover of my soul. I want to be at his side. You know, so in Genesis 22, verse 17, let's take this right back. Genesis 22 and verse 17. Now, this is after Abraham had just gone through the whole ordeal of placing his son on the altar and was ready to take his life. And then the Lord shows up and gives him the sacrifice that's really meant to be done. And the test was passed. And then in verse 17, this is what he says to Abraham. Indeed, I will greatly bless you. This is a promise for Abraham, but it's a promise for us as the Gentiles, because we are grafted in to the Jewish nation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is applicable to us. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Even way back then, it's like, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But even back then, the Lord was saying that the gates of your enemies are not to be looked at, therefore they're for the taking. You know, and if we take a look at also in Genesis 24 and verse 60. And this is Rebecca and her story. She just said yes to taking, I think it was, taken her husband anyway. And the Lord says to her, they blessed Rebecca and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of tens of thousands, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Wow. So there's another reference. It's not about you sitting back and being complacent, but there's a gate there and it belongs to your enemy, and you're ordained is a go-getter for the kingdom of heaven. You're a go-getter for the church, and the church goes forward and takes ground. It doesn't retreat. It was designed ever to expand, ever to grow. I mean, there's different facets of the one diamond, and you don't need to shout loudest about your facet, that there's no other church like our church because the presence of the Lord is here, or we just do great Bible studies. It's not about that. You can't have unity when you're pumping your own vessels up and saying, God, God's with us. He is with us, but he's with us as a community, as a church worldwide, as a dunamis power station that is designed and in his plans is going to take the kingdom of darkness back, take the fight to them, not wait for them to come to us. We've had enough of that as church. Our voice has been silenced. It's time for the church and the voice of the church to rise up again with good news that our God is alive. Our God is a healer. Our God is a restorer. He is not only just a restorer of health, he is a restorer of nations. Psalm 2, verse 8. Give me the nations, O Lord. And that should be the heart's cry of many of us today, that we're saying, Lord, I'm not just happy with my town, my community, and my city, and my own nation, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm up for the nations as well. Wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to lead me, I'm going with you, God, because I know your will is where I want to be, right in the center of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's gates that we have to take. It has been ordained. That's why in Matthew, the Lord speaks about, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail. Why? Because upon this rock, he is building his ecclesia. He is establishing his place of rest. He's establishing his line and saying, you don't get to cross this line. And we get to cross it because it's our right to. And we will cross it and take you down in Jesus' name. Amen. The church is victorious in battle, in conquering, and we are meant to conquer. That's why the Ephesians 6 armor is talking to us about you put it on, you adorn yourself with it. The Lord has provided it for you, for your use, for your protection, but also for your advancement. It's not so you stay safe. Oh, I've got a nice shield. I've got a nice breastplate. I'm okay. No, it's not a defensive mechanism. It is a mechanism that you put on to go out and do warfare. Amen? So you are called, you're appointed. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to what? To the pulling down of strongholds, destroying principalities, taking back communities, taking back cities. We are an advancing army. We have been locked inside our churches for too long. Church is not a building. Church is a community of the appointed ones, the anointed ones that go out there and take the good news outside of the walls and declare it, show it, reveal it. Be active in it. I mean, the signs, wonders, and gifts follow those who believe. Come on, church. If we're not believing it, this is God's R for us as the church, then we're missing the mark. We haven't seen where he's going. And he is a rider on a white horse that's riding at the front of the army of the Lord. And we want to be in that army. We want to be with him. You do not want to miss this marker right now. Today, mark it in your diaries. This is a day of a shift, of a change, that the church moves now from being a complacent, weak, underdeveloped thing or overdeveloped. Maybe we're too fat with the word of God and with all our church meetings and services. Maybe we're too fat. We just don't even feel like moving. Well, the Lord says, fast, pray, seek my face, get your body in order and get it back into alignment with where the Father would have you be, and get your back again and get ready to move in the season of the Lord. It is his season. It is not the enemy's season. The enemy has not won. He never was intended to. He never will do. And he will burn in his allotted place in the fire that God has placed for him at the end of days. So the church is victorious. It is designed always to grow, always to advance. We're not to be tucked away. We're not to be tucked in a building. We're out there in the community every day. You are a walking dynamite powerhouse of the glory of God that is in you and waiting to express itself to everyone we meet who is not well, who's got a walking stick, who's in a wheelchair, who's in a hospital bed. You know, we've got the rights to go down because the same power is in us that rose Christ Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, in me. I am a fire carrier. Say that right now. Declare it over yourself. I am a fire carrier. I am anointed by God. The God part of the Holy Spirit dwells in me. This is it. You need to change your thinking. That Romans 12, verse 2. By the renewing of your mind, get rid of the old thoughts that hold you back from being a kingdom of darkness destroyer, and step into the destiny that God has for you as a believer. Gates in the Old Testament and the olden days were always symbolical of gathering places. It was where the wise men of the city would sit and talk. It's where business deals were done. It's where things were decided upon. And fathers introduced their sons who just turned 12 and made them a public notice to the other traders. This is my son now. He is 12 and he can now act on my behalf. So I am revealing him to you today as a new member of my family, of my inheritance, to take forward my legacy into the next season. You're a legacy carrier. You're not a nobody. Your voice is not to be silenced. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. You know, so these symbolical gates were key places, and that's why the Lord speaks about that the gates of Hades, the conflict with darkness, is always going to be here, but we get to win. Come on. We don't sit down. We don't lie under. We take maybe a slap, but we get back up again and say, okay, I've learned from that one, but I'm moving forward and I'm going to take the defensive role in this next season. You know, Genesis 3:15. Turn with me to that. Genesis chapter 3. This is all the way through Scripture, from the very earliest days to the end of Revelation. Scripture is about taking down the kingdom of the enemy and declaring that we are at war. Amen. Chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now that's referring to the serpent, the snake, the devil. It says he will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And you shall bruise him on the heel, and he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. There is warfare there, right from the very outset of the garden. Eve was doing warfare right at the very start. You are known as the church, the kingdom of God. What are we also known as? The bride. Do you get it? The woman, and we are the bride of Christ. Who's he coming back for? His bride. The bridegroom is coming back for his bride. That's us, the beautiful, the ordained one, the one that he loves with all of his heart. He's coming back for a pure and a spotless bride to take us to be with him, to rule and reign in this next development of his kingdom. His kingdom doesn't end at the end of this age. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And you will get to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. So let's do a planned deal today. Say, okay, God, I know there's something happening. There's a shift happening. And now, Lord, I'm saying, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to be like the foolish virgins that didn't keep enough oil for their lamp. And when you turn up, I'm not ready. So we want to have a definite answer in our head and a declaration today. I will be ready for you, Lord. I am ready now, and I will be then. And I will not be one that's caught sleeping when you come knocking on the world's door. Come on. This is fiery stuff. I'm excited. I feel presence of God on this today. This is his word. This is talking about his bride, his church, the one he's coming back for. And he says, you are beautiful. You are Beulah. You are beautiful. And the Lord is, his desire is for us. How can you lose? The desire of the King of Kings is for you today, right now, right here, right where you're seated, right where you're online. The presence of God is around you. It's surrounding you. And it's like he's dropping oil on top of you, awakening you to really what it is that you're here for. Amen. This is a new day, a new season, and an awakening of the giftings of the power of the dunamis power that has been invested in us through his price that he paid to give us the power to take down the walls of Satan's kingdom. Amen. You know, so we have the keys of the kingdom, the Bible says. And Isaiah 22:22 is speaking about David and his keys. And we relate a lot to that today, that keys are a special thing. You know, keys unlock, keys lock, you know, and we need to know which we're meant to do and when we're meant to use them. So there is a whole list of them here. And it also speaks about in Luke 11:52, it speaks about the key of knowledge. We get knowledge and revelation from who? Our leader. He imparts it to us. Holy Spirit in us quickens us and tells us and reveals us things so that we are in the know in his kingdom. And the key of David was that revelatory one in Revelation 3:7 and Isaiah 22:22. And then it speaks about the keys of death and Hades in Revelation 1:18. It speaks about the keys of the bottomless pit, the abyss, in Revelation 9:1 and chapter 20:1. It speaks about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16:18-19. We read it earlier. That which you have loosed, you loose. That which you bind, you bind. You know, so all authority, I'm coming back again over it. All authority has been given to who? Jesus Christ. Are we connected with the Father and the Son and we're all intertwined? Yes, we are. What does that give us rights to, access to? It gives us the rights to all power is ours. When we're in the business of the King, we get to be that ambassador for him, the one that releases his glory, his power, wherever we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'm excited here. I don't know about you guys, but this is making me buzz this morning because it's reality. It's truth. It's where you are. It's where you're meant to be. And it's what we're meant to be up to. So we want to step up a gear. We want to step in and say, come on, Jesus, let's go do some business. Let's release the gifts. Because when I'm moving and when I'm under the Holy Spirit, I know that when I move, something shifts, something happens because of the power of God that's in me. And it emanates out of me 12, 15 feet. People will walk past me, will walk past you, and they'll go, whoa, what's going on there? Because they will sense something that they don't yet understand, and it's what you carry, the presence of God, the church on the move, the church outside of the buildings. Amen. The key is significant in the power and authority that we carry, because we are called to lock people out. We are called to lock people in. We are called to actually release and to bind. So that's the power and the authority that you have as an administrator of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter opened the door of faith to the Jews at Pentecost and then to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. The one who holds the keys holds the authority of the kingdom. We've been given the keys of the kingdom. Who has the keys? We have them because Jesus went into Hades, went into hell, and shocked the life out of the devil and said, give me back my keys. The keys that were lost through the fall with Adam and Eve, he went, took them back. Now he has them, and he has given them to us, his bride, his chosen ones, who are about his business. The church is in the business of having a binding ministry that relates to the gates of Hades and the conflict against the church. The church is to have the power to bind those who oppose. So when you come across as a believer of Jesus Christ with the fire and the presence of God in you, and you see someone that has been held in captivity by the enemy, what does that give you permission to do? Introduce change to that person. Not just tell them a sweet little story, but introduce the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So you take the boldness that is in you, placed upon you. I mean, when the wind and the building shook at the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, I mean, that was, it almost speaks like a mini whirlwind entered the building, and the actual building shook with the presence of it. I bet those disciples were shaken too, because at first they'd have been thinking, oh, dears, what's going on here? It was the presence of the king introducing his power, his authority, and saying, you can go do this now. And so they left that building having realized that there was such a thing that happened to them that they would never be the same. Can you ever be the same when you get touched by the King of Kings? No. If anything, it makes you more like the deer that pants for the water. It makes you thirst and hunger for more. I mean, if you're not thirsty and hungry for the more, you need to get on your knees today, and whatever it is you know in your heart and your spirit that is not right, put it right. Say sorry to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and set you free and restir the gifts that he has placed in you for the purposes of the king. Come on, let's get ready to be the ones that are struck by the power of God in an upper room scenario, ready to come out of the doors and to take the exploits, to be the ones that when the Bible speaks about the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, follow those who believe. Let us be the ones that believe today that we are ones that gifts are meant to follow. You know, so let's lead the way. Be expectant. Risk is faith. So when you walk up to somebody that's in a wheelchair and you think, oh my days, will this ever happen? No, you believe that what you carry can make a difference in that person's life. Even if they don't come out of the wheelchair, what have you done? What have you done when you've laid hands on them? What have you done when you've placed your hands upon them and you have prayed and commanded sickness and cripples to be gone in Jesus' name? You have introduced them to the one that you carry, his presence. You have brought the glory of the Lord close to them. And if nothing else, they will encounter the peace of the Lord God Almighty that is in you, and something will ignite in their spirit because they are also of the kingdom of the Lord. They just don't know him yet. They're not lost. They just need to be introduced to the kingdom and then brought into the family of God, the church, And then we teach and disciple and train them and go do what we're doing. Come with me tomorrow. Let's go. What happened today? We want to introduce you, get you started tomorrow. Because the same power that's in me is in you. So let's get it activated. And then so we pass on legacy to the ones that we lead into the kingdom. And we instruct them and we teach and train and equip them to go do the same works that you've just done. So there should be no fear in us because of what we carry, because of the Lord God Almighty that is in us. You know, so we have a binding power, so we can bind the enemy's tactics in a community, in a city, and in a town, and in a nation, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers that are up there. The enemy's domain, he thinks he's got it all, and yet he hasn't met the living church yet, and he is about to encounter a living body of believers that will take the battle. We're not going to stay in the fort anymore, but we're going to come out of the fort and go take the forts. We're going to do destructive tactical warfare in the enemy's camp and set the captives free. Free those that have been held in chains and bound. Like Jesus, when he walked up to the demoniac, he didn't walk on and say, oh, nice chap, sorry, you have a good day. Hope you're feeling better. No. He's seen the enemy at work, and he said, not on my watch. And he went up to that guy that had torn and beat up other men, and Jesus walked up to him, and the love of the Father shone through, and the light penetrated darkness, and darkness had to go. That guy had a life change, a turnaround, and Jesus said, no, you're not coming with me. I need you to go back into your homeland and tell them what has just happened. And so he sent out an evangelist who had had an encounter with God, met Jesus, and his life was radically changed and set on a different direction. He was no longer known as the screaming madman in the gravestones, but he was seen as a citizen of heaven in his homeland, set free, witness to the glory of God. When it comes upon you, nothing can withstand the power of the living God, and you get set free. We want to be that Jesus to the people that are like that today in our communities, and be the one that comes and sets them free. Do you know that in the Word of God, it cannot be bound, because 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, let's read that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says there, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Come on. It cannot be bound. It cannot be imprisoned. You try and take one of us down, another will rise up. You make a martyr out of a believer in Jesus Christ, 100 more will go to carry out the duty that was set before. It's like Jim Elliot in the American Amazons. Him and his guys went in and they got slaughtered. They got killed by the tribes they were trying to reach out to. What happened? Their wives took up the role and went in after them, went into the villages, says, you've taken our husbands, you've killed them. We are now husbandless, so we're coming to live with you and to be with your people. Your people will be my people. Doesn't that sound very biblical? Well, they changed the tribe, and the tribal chief came to know the Lord. And so there was a radical thing, but out of death, the Lord always brings good. There is no death in the kingdom that there won't be something that lives out of it. Even the stories of it will be told again and again and again, because it's our God and his kingdom. Do you know that in the body of Christ, we are not only just called to bind stuff up, but we're called to loose. So we bind the works of the enemy. We shut him down in every avenue that we can find. But we're also called to loose, and we're called to loose the people out of bondage. And in Luke chapter 13 and verse 16, it says, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, be loosed? It's because they were complaining at him because he was operating in the gifts on a Sabbath day. Oh, we can't do that. The king can do whatever the king chooses. And on that day, he chose to set a captive free. He chose to break the bounds that were wrapped around her by the Satan's lifestyle that he had enveloped her in. And Jesus saw it and said, not on my watch, not on my kingdom. I'm here and I'm going to destroy this right now. And it goes because I am present. Amen. John chapter 11, and verse 44. And Lazarus came forth out of the grave, out of his grave clothes. He was loosed. He was bound in the grave clothes. But when Jesus turns up, the spirit of power that was upon him brought life back to Lazarus, and he called his name. He didn't call come forth, because there could have been a host of people come. But he called specifically, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the dead place and back to life. And the power that is in Jesus Christ, do you know, it gives us all authority even to cast out demons, raise the dead. You know, so just because it's dead and a doctor has told you there's the certificate, that person's dead, that is not it. In a final moment, because if the Lord prompts you by his spirit to pray for that dead person, then you got to go with faith. You got to believe that the gifts that are following you are sufficient, that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, that the power of the cross, the power in the blood that's in you is sufficient to call back life to enter that dead body again and see them raised up in Jesus' name. That's who you are. That's what you're called to do. Come on. The church in the earth is connected with heaven. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. Is there sickness? Is there demonic strategies in heaven? No. Then why do we allow them to be here on the earth? We're to be the ones that go to the forts and attack the forts. We're the ones that should be taking on the impossible looking structures like Jericho's wall, that double wall city, and having faith that God says, walk around it 7 days, it'll come down. And we carry that same authority and same power today that's in us, and we can see great Jerichos fall to the ground and conquer cities, take the enemy's battle to him, not allow him anymore to make us out to be weak, defeated, and well, he would like us to be Christless little vessels. In fact, we are not Christless. We are Christ indwelt. The power of the Holy Spirit is in us, and is in us for a reason, that we are here to do exploits for our King and to destroy the works of the enemy everywhere we go. Everywhere our foot treads, we get to walk in the glory. We get to walk in what it is the Father has for us in this season. If you're excited today, then I want you to lift your hand right now and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare over myself, like put your hand in your head, like you're anointing yourself. And I say, I declare over myself that I am a kingdom warrior, that I am a church vessel that is alive. I am dangerous to the enemy's camp. I carry dynamite given to me by Holy Spirit. And I declare today that Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of my being, that I am a chosen one. I am anointed. I am appointed to destroy the enemy's kingdom. And with the power of the Father in me, I say, enemy camp, watch out. So I want to bless you guys. So Father, we just bless this morning. We've got one third of the way through, so we're going to drop back on this at a later date and carry on, because this is good stuff. If you know and understand who you are and why the church is here, why it's not meant to be split up into tiny little segments unless persecution is really upon us, then we are not called to be hiding away. We're called to do battle. You know, when a nation persecutes a church, it goes underground. But what happens when it goes underground? It don't stop. It grows, because persecution brings you back to a reality of needing to be knelt at the foot of the cross every day to be in the safe arms of the strong tower of the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that is our head of the church. And so we need to be close to him. Our hearts should be knitted with his and the Father's and the Holy Spirit, that we all, like we all connect so tightly together that we become this tight-knit fighting power machine that is not scared of the enemy's tactics, but it sees them, it understands them, that revelation comes from heaven and excites us to go after what we see in front of us and say, like Jesus, not on my watch. Not on my watch. You are a powerhouse. You are appointed, and the Lord God has anointed you, and that seed of faith that's in you is in you to be watered and grown. And how do you stretch a muscle? You work it. So you don't sit waiting for it. You go get out into the gym of the world and find what it is you need to use for pumping iron and getting your stuff fit and ready to do the exploits that the Lord brings, you know, towards you. You can have absolutely no doubt whatsoever that if you say yes in your heart today to take ground for the King, that the Lord will lead you under the power of the Holy Spirit across the very things and across the very pathways of people that need Him. They don't need you or don't need me necessarily, but they need His power and His presence to destroy the enemy's works and tactics in their lives so they get blessed with freedom. They get blessed by the love of a Father and get introduced by you to the King of Heaven. Amen. So, Father, we just bless today, Lord. We thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord, that it is anointed and that we are appointed, that all believers are called. It says that all believers should prophesy. We should be able to speak the words from heaven over people's lives every time we meet them and declare such truth over their lives that the enemy's hooks get snapped off, pulled out, and destroyed, that we give them a contact, we give them a link with you, O Lord, and we raise you up today, the Lord God Almighty, the King of Glory, Heaven's Prince, and we say, Lord, someday we will be with you, and right now we settle for the power that you have birthed inside of us, and we say, thank you, Lord, for that. Holy Spirit, we speak to you today, and we say, increase your activity in us, show us your glory of the Lord, and allow us to be vessels to be used by you, that we go after forts, that we change and we adopt the tactics of heaven to take down the enemy's antics in our lives, in our towns and in our cities and in this nation, to bring glory to the King of Kings and to bring in the harvest of the lost souls, Lord, that you speak over right now in Jesus' name. So we declare, Holy Spirit, that we give you authority today to be who you're meant to be inside us, that we no longer try to shape you, contain you, or box you, but in fact that you explode in us like the day of Pentecost, that you revive our spirits again with fire and with the anointing and the freshness and the zeal of the Lord, that our hunger for you, Lord, just explodes, that we can't get enough of you, that just getting out of bed in the morning will be exciting because we know it's a new day and a new thing will happen. And so, Lord, fill us with your passion. Lead us in your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, as your church, that we become valiant warriors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So bless you guys. We're signing off Facebook here, but this will be on YouTube later. So if you want to go to our website, www.fathershouse.co.uk, and go to the audio page, you'll see under 2021, you will find all the recent messages. So help yourself, take them, share them, download them, and make them available in Jesus' name. We love you guys. Remember that the shift took place today, that you have been actioned and you have been appointed once more. Freshness and fire has been upon you today. So go do what your King wants you to do. Amen.